Please turn with me in your Bibles, the book of Genesis, chapter 12. Genesis, chapter 12, and verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old. He departed out of Haran. And our subject this evening is five features of Abram's faith. Well, last week we commenced our series in the life of Abraham, or Abram, as we are first introduced to him in the scriptures. And we looked specifically last week at the first three verses of chapter 12, the call of Abraham, and we likened that call, the call of Abraham, to the call of the gospel, the call that every believer hears, the call that is irresistible, the call to separate, the call to put the Lord first, and a call to great blessing for the believer and for others. God's call to us is essentially the same as the call to Abram recorded here in chapter 12. And we finished last week on verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And that speaks so clearly of the gospel age. And indeed, those words are quoted by the Apostle Paul in the letter to the Galatians, chapter 3 and verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. The gospel is being preached to Abraham through his call. The gospel is being proclaimed. So the gospel of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, the promise is being revealed, the great seed of Abraham, even in these first verses of chapter 12. But then we read in verse 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And before we get into the meat of the passage and the features of Abram's faith that I would like to bring out this evening, you may notice that we are told in this verse that Abram departs out of Haran. And you may think to yourself, I thought Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldees. And I spent the whole message pretty much last week preaching about how Abraham was called out of Ur, that idolatrous place, called to separate, to come out from that city that was full of worldly pleasure and sin. And we made quite a large point concerning that. He's called out of Ur of the Chaldees. But why do we read here then in verse 4 that he departed out of Haran? Well, first of all, I didn't make a mistake. He is most certainly called out of Ur of the Chaldees. When God's call comes to Abram, he is in that city, and we have New Testament confirmation of that in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7, in the sermon of Stephen the martyr, verses 2 and 3 of chapter 7. Stephen said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, in Ur of the Chaldees, in other words, before he dwelt in Haran, before he was in Haran, in other words, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. So Stephen, in the book of Acts, chapter 7, he is stating that Abram was called when he was in Ur of the Chaldees in Mesopotamia. So he was called out of that city. And scripture also affirms that the call was made to Abram alone. The prophet Isaiah confirms this in chapter 51 and verse 2. Look unto Abraham your father and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. So the call is given to Abram alone, but we read at the end of chapter 11, the end of the previous chapter in Genesis, that it's actually Abram's father, Terah, who leads the family out of Ur of the Chaldees. And if you just look to Genesis chapter 11 and verse 31, and Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. His father Terah took them out of the land. Well, now, this is strange to us. The call we know is to Abram. Why is Terah credited with leading them out of Ur of the Chaldees? Well, Terah, he was not called by God. And we know even from the book of Joshua that he was an idolater. He served other gods. That's what Joshua preached. He wasn't called as Abram was. But Abram must surely have told Terah about his call. He must surely have told his father, I have been called by God to get out of Ur of the Chaldees and to go to a land that God will show me. And that's what Abram must surely have said to Terah. And well, Terah would have no doubt been impressed by Abram's zeal and determination to leave. And we also read at the end of chapter 11 that one of Terah's sons, Abram's brother, had died. Haran had died in verse 28. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. So Terah has had a family bereavement. Maybe Haran has died tragically and very suddenly. And maybe his father wants to leave the city of this great bereavement. And well, being encouraged by Abram's suggestion, he goes with him. But he takes the responsibility and he leads the family out of Ur of the Chaldees. So Abram, no doubt, has told Terah about his call, and Terah, for practical reasons, well, he takes the responsibility and leads the family out of Ur. But it's clear that Terah, Abram's father, has no interest in being led to the actual land that God is going to show Abram. Abram is being called to the land of Canaan. But Terah, well, he does not go to the land of Canaan. He goes to Haran and he dwells there. And that word in the Hebrew for dwelt there means that he settled there. He had no intention of going to the promised land. And it only seems that once Terah is dead, once Terah has died, then Abram can actually move and leave Haran and go to Canaan and seek that promised land. Terah, well, it seems, was hindering Abram. He was willing to go with Abram for some of the way. He was impressed by Abram's call, but he wasn't really interested in obeying God. He only went to Haran and dwelt there. He didn't want to obey the call of God to Abram in full obedience, going to that promised land. And, well, even Terah's name means delay. He delayed Abram, in a sense, from his full calling. And, well, that is the reason why we read in verse 4 of chapter 12 that Abram departed out of Haran. And his father dies and he is able to go. But verse 5, and Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Well, Abram, he sets out. He takes, many people with him. He takes Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, Haran's son, and all their substance that they had gathered. They had accumulated much wealth, it appears, during their time in Haran, cattle and livestock and servants and so on. And, Abram is really, he's a leader of his own colony when they eventually set off. But they go out and, it appears that some of the company who are with Abram, and in fact, the vast majority of them, believe in the God of Abram. We read this in this verse. Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. The souls that they had gotten. Some will say that that refers simply to the servants that they had purchased in Haran. But that Hebrew word can also mean the souls that they had instructed in Haran. In other words, Abram had instructed his servants and all those who were associated with him in the ways of the Lord. He had turned them from idols to serve the true and living God. And this is the implication of these words, the souls that they had gotten in Haran. This wasn't simply a secular group. They all, it seemed, had that trust and faith in the God of Abram. And Abram himself, he departs in faith. And we must begin to look at the faith of Abram, because there is so much that we can learn as we consider these things. The faith of Abram. Well, the first point I want to bring to you concerning these five features of Abram's faith is that Abram's faith, it is an active faith. It's an active faith. Faith is, it is a living principle in the life of every believer. It's a living principle. Faith, of course, produces works. It produces acts. Faith is not simply something that lives in the mind. Many people profess to have faith. I believe in God, therefore I have faith. But there is no evidence for their faith. If you have faith, your faith will be shown by your works, by the things that you actually do. We don't just sit there and say that we have faith, I believe in God. We actually do things. Our faith is active. And Abram's faith was active. He did something. He moved his whole family. He moved all of his belongings, all of his property, which would have been a great upheaval for him. There would have been a strong temptation for him to stay where he was in Haran. But no, his faith acted, faith in action. And he departed from Haran and set out for this land, which was, of course, unknown to him. He did not know where he was going, we read. In Hebrews 11. But he acted out of faith. And this is a tremendous example to us that our faith ought to be active. It must be active. Do we live according to faith? Again, as I've mentioned, so many people say they have faith, but none of the decisions in their life seem to be based on faith? Do we make sacrifices for the Lord out of faith? All the big decisions in our lives, do we do them out of faith? One example I can give, and I'm sure I've given this many times, is we know people who, when we were able to gather in the building, they would say that they couldn't come because, they have jobs on the Lord's Day and they have to work morning and evening, so, there's no way they can come to services on the Lord's Day. And, if that is indeed the case and there's a great necessity, we can't force you to attend. But you know, it would be a remarkable act of faith. It would be a remarkable act of faith if you gave up that job. If you gave up that job and turned up every meeting saying, I've given up that job, and yes, I won't have the money, but I have faith that the Lord will provide. That would be a remarkable act of faith. Your faith in action. Not just saying you have faith, but not actually doing anything about it. You actually make sacrifices for the Lord. Your every decision is based on faith, faith in God. And so we must examine ourselves. Do we have faith, or do we just say that we have faith? We have to be very careful with this because, faith without works, faith without evidence is dead, according to New Testament teaching. So Abraham's faith here, it is active. He acted. He took his family from Haran and, he seeks out this promised land. But secondly, Abram's faith is obedient. It follows on really from the first point. Abram's faith is obedient. Abram acts out of obedience. So Abram departed, verse 4, as the Lord had spoken unto him. The Lord had given him a commandment. That was enough. He must obey. He's been given the call. He must obey. You know, today's society, and this seems to be the case with young people, even children, if you give them something to do, give them a command, if I can put it that way, they will quite often ask you, why do you want me to do this? Before I carry out what you are asking me to do, why do I have to do this? What's in it for me? What are the reasons? Why? But Abram never asks why here. He just goes. Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. There were many reasons he could have raised as to why. He didn't know where he was going, as I've mentioned. He didn't know how the promise of seed would come to pass. His wife was barren. There were many reasons he could have raised. But he went out of obedience. We obey God because we have faith in God. Indeed, to exercise faith was the first act of obedience to God that we ever committed. The first act of obedience to God was to exercise faith in Him. The gospel call went out, the gospel message. And it calls us to faith. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your faith in God. That's what the gospel call is. And that was the first time we obeyed God. We put our faith. That was our first act of obedience, putting our faith in God. So faith and obedience, you cannot have one without the other. They are two sides of the same coin. We often say that about repentance and faith, but obedience and faith, they go together. Obedience is always attached to faith. We obey God's word, for example, Because we have faith in it. We have faith in God's word. We have faith that it is God's word. We have faith that it's inspired. We have faith that it's inerrant, and therefore we obey it. When you don't have faith in the word of God, when you don't think it's inspired, when you don't think it's inerrant, well, then you don't obey it. That's what we've seen in modern churches. So many churches, they don't believe the word of God is inspired. Do they obey it? No, they don't. They ignore it, large sections of it. But we have faith, and therefore we obey. Faith and obedience goes together. And we serve the Lord out of faith, of course. We have faith that our labors are not in vain. When we go out to evangelize, when we knock on doors, when we send out those tracts, well, we may not see much in the way of results. We may not see many people coming into the church off the back of all of this, but we do it out of faith. We don't have to see results. We do it out of faith. We know that our labors in the Lord are not in vain. And we obey God. Faith and obedience go together. So Abram, his faith is based on obedience. Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And thirdly, moving on, faith accepts difficulty. Faith accepts difficulty and challenges. We read, in verse 6, that Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. Abram, well, he's moved out of his comfortable home, and he's gone to the land that the Lord has promised to show him. And when he gets there, well, what does he find? Well, it's occupied. The Canaanite was then in the land. This land that God had promised to him, it was occupied, and not just occupied, but with a hostile nation, an idolatrous nation, a nation that would oppose Abram. It was not the case that Abram would just turn up at the promised land, and he could enter in freely and easily without any stress or any trouble. No, of course not. The Canaanite was then in the land. There would be difficulties in obtaining this land. There would be obstacles in place. And this teaches us a great lesson about the life of faith. When we live life by faith, well, the way will not always be easy. In fact, it may never be easy. When we live by faith, there will always be obstacles. There will always be discouragements. There will always be enemies, those who oppose us. We are trying to live a life of faith. The world sets up great obstacles in front of us. The life of faith is not a walk in the park. Abram, he has responded to the Lord in faith, but that doesn't mean he's going to have an easy life. The Canaanite is in the land. But dear friends, well, Abram, he takes these difficulties and he accepts them. There are no regrets for Abram. And there are no regrets for us, even when we find difficulties in our way, in our walk of faith. Well, we are faced with many obstacles, but dear friends, we take the difficulties. That's what faith does. We are prepared to receive them and to bear with them. Why is that? Well, because we know that the way we are taking, the way of faith, is the right way. It is the right way. It is the way that God has shown us. It is the way that God is pleased to bless. We know that we are living in the right way. We believe the right things, and this is the way that the Lord wants us to go. This is God's way. And if there are difficulties along God's way, well, then we have faith that they are for our eternal good. There are difficulties, yes. We read in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25, the example of Moses and his faith. And we read that he was choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He chose to suffer hardship with the people of God. He chose to go the way that God showed him rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. This is what we all do, dear friends. We choose God's way no matter how hard it is for us. The world has it easy. Oh yes, the world has it easy compared to us. They have a life full of ease, full of comfort. But dear friends, they are going the wrong way. They're going the wrong way. They have embarked upon the way that leads to destruction, the broad way. Their way will end with God's condemnation. Their way is not blessed. When we see them living a life of ease, we ought not to be envious, because we know how their way ends, that our way is the right way, and we choose by faith to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Faith accepts the difficulties and the challenges that we know when we indeed choose to serve the Lord. But then fourthly, faith is full of gratitude. Let's look at verse 7 in chapter 12. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Well, now we mustn't pass by this verse too quickly, because what is actually being said here? The Lord appeared unto Abram. By the way, this is the first time that we read such a thing occurring, the Lord appearing to somebody. This is the first time in the scripture that the Lord is said to appear, and he appears to Abram. Some say that this is a theophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some say that the Lord appeared just in a dream or a vision to Abram. We can't be sure. But the Lord appears unto Abram. But look at what he says. Unto thy seed will I give this land. Unto thy seed will I give this land. Not to Abram himself, but unto his seed. The promise has been given to Abram, but he will not claim it as his own. Unto thy seed will I give this land. In other words, Abram, in your lifetime, you won't have this land. You will be compelled to live in tents and move from one place to the other place to the other place. This seed, this land is for thy seed. Unto thy seed will I give this land. And well, Abram, how does he respond to this? Is he angry with God? Does he murmur? Does he say to God, Lord, I uprooted my whole family and they've all come with me, and now you're saying that this land is not for me, for my profit, for my family to enjoy themselves, is for my seed? I'm never going to see it. Does he murmur in that way? No, of course he does not. Instead, well, we read that he builded an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. He worshipped God. This is tremendous. This is remarkable. The Lord has said to Abram, you will have no temporal blessing, or rather, the land that has been promised to you will not be yours in your lifetime. And yet Abram worships God. He worships God. And dear friends, again, this is a great example to us. We love to have temporary blessings in our lives. We like to have great answers to our prayers. And sometimes we get greedy and we want more blessings from the Lord, more things upon us. I want this and I want that. Lord, can you send me blessing upon blessing upon blessing? But dear friends, we have to remember that the greatest blessing has already been given to us. The blessing of eternal life, the blessing of knowing the Lord, the blessing of having all our sins removed from us. That is the greatest blessing. We don't need anything else, really. Even if we were to receive no further blessing from the Lord in this life, we still have great cause to rejoice because we are saved people, because we know and love the living God. This was enough for Abram. Abram knew that, well, I won't claim the land for myself, but it's enough that God has chosen me. It's enough that God has revealed himself to me and has brought me into a living relationship with him. That's enough that I know him. Dear friends, that ought to be our attitude. We ought not to be constantly seeking blessing from the Lord. Yes, it's good, it's right to pray to God for all the things that we need. But we already have all things in Christ. We have everything. God has given us his only begotten Son, who has given up his life for us, who has shed his blood for us. Is that not enough? Dear friends, this is why we come and we praise the Lord every Lord's Day in this place, not because of our temporal blessings, but primarily, chiefly, because Christ has come and because we know him and because our sins are forgiven. This is why we, as it were, build that altar every week and praise God. Because God has appeared to us in the gospel, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this is the example that we see from Abraham. But fifthly and finally, Abraham, well, his faith has an eternal perspective. An eternal perspective. In verse 8, we read, "And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord." Well, Abram knew that he was just a pilgrim on this earth. This was what his call communicated to him. He is a pilgrim on the earth. He is living in tents, in temporary abodes. He has been called out of a permanent place, as it were, a worldly, earthly place, to live a life as a pilgrim, moving from one place to the next. And that was a lesson to Abram. Abram, this world isn't your home. This world isn't your home. And Abram knew and understood this. In Hebrews 11 and verse 8, we read this earlier. "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise." And verse 10, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's not any city on earth. That's an eternal city. That's a spiritual city, a city whose builder and maker is God. That's heaven, dear friends. And that's what God was teaching Abram and communicating to Abram. The promised land is not a place on this earth, in this world. Abram, you're a pilgrim on this world. You're living in tents, temporary abodes. Can't you see that the promised land is spiritual? It's a place that I will provide for you. And in verse 13 of Hebrews 11, these all died in faith, speaking about the patriarchs, including Abraham. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Abram didn't go into the promised land, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They desired a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. That is the true promised land, a heavenly land. And Abram, well, he knew and he understood this so well. And this is a vital part of our faith. When we live in this world with all its difficulties and all its troubles, and this world is always changing governments, changing laws, in our personal lives we have changes, changing houses, changing jobs, and so on. Well, one day we know that we will be in a place that never changes, an everlasting city, God's city. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, an eternal place. Our Savior is preparing a mansion for us. That's our city. That is what we look for. That is what we aim for when we live in this life. And that is what strengthens our faith. But well, just to close this evening, we look at the final part of verse 8. He pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Well, this is what we are to do. We are pilgrims on this earth, in this world, but until we are taken up to that eternal place, we call upon the name of the Lord for help and for strength. Until we reach our final destination. Well, dear friends, these are some of the features of Abraham's faith. We will look at further features, no doubt, as we go through the series, but may the Lord help us and enable us to have this same faith and to be humble servants before the Lord. Well, let us pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we look up to Thee in faith. O Lord, we pray that Thou wouldest help us in our earthly pilgrimage. We pray that Thou wouldest bless us. Lord, we pray that our faith will be an active faith. We pray that our faith will be sincere. Dear Lord, we pray that, Lord, Thou wouldest increase our faith, that we may truly honor Thee here in our earthly pilgrimage. Lord, we thank Thee that Thou art our God, the God who gives us faith. And Lord, we thank Thee that by faith we are saved. Lord, we come before Thee now, and Lord, we ask that Thou wouldest watch over us. We ask it all in our Savior's name and for His sake. Amen.